It's not always that the Bible class and the sermon go together, but if I do my job today, I think they really will go together. So we've studied in the book of Revelation dealing with the occasions where Christians may undergo the suffering persecution. Those in the first century did at the hand of the government officials then. And how do we handle difficulty? How do we handle when our life is turned upside down, whether God is persecution or not? One of the things I'm concerned about as I try to teach my children, as I try to work with others, as I look at my own life, I can build a heart and mind that knows God and knows His Word, and I can react very differently when things go bad. And so how do we do that? My lesson is very simple. The seen and the unseen. I want to show you some key verses where that concept is presented of how it will give us comfort, even in the darkest of times. Marty Roddy, who is mentioned in our bulletin, one of our regulars to our Bible reading, he called me last week and he wanted to know some verses to memorize. And some I'm going to be giving him along these lines. There's something when the Word becomes in you and you know how to view this world. God wants us to be content and confident in a chaotic world. He wants us to learn how to see things. When I see some things, a Christian can see some things and rejoice. The world may see some things and mourn. The Christians may mourn to some things and the world may rejoice. How do I view myself? How do I view this world? Brethren, please understand, Satan is in control temporarily in this world. We looked at that in the book of Revelation with the various beasts that came up. This power was the dragon in the world. And we've got to understand, we're never going to make this world somehow love God. They're not Christians. We want to convert some, but we're not going to convert the world. Jesus says, He said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Look at Romans 8, the world. Carnality, the flesh and the spirit, they don't go together. We are opposite, and that's okay. I'd love everybody to become a Christian. But we need to understand the nature of the world. And we don't sometimes need to fuss and whine at things that are really the reality. I love Jesus as He was getting ready to approach His death, and He was trying to prepare His disciples for it. He says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." John 14:30. The ruler of this world. And so many times, brethren, we are upset and stressed and moody because we spend our time and our efforts thinking about things that are not going to last this long and that before God have no value at all. I do it. You do it. It's one of the things I got to get through my mind. This is not worth the emotional effort. And even when things go bad, again, so effectively taught in that Revelation 14 today, Christians need to understand reality. I'm part of Zion. I am part of that innumerable host. God has a plan, and I can sing a song with a fellowship with those who will be victorious, not only in this life while it appears it's bad, but through eternity. We are victors. That takes some thinking. Your eyes may tell you one thing, but the Word of God will tell you another, and I'm going to stick with the Word of God. And I love Jesus. Again, trying to prepare His disciples. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." The light, understanding how to view this world. Brethren, if I am a failure to this world, okay. Sometimes people talk with the oppressed and the oppressors. You know what? World's going to look down on us, folks. If we get to the point where everybody praises us, "Hey, you're the greatest thing in the world," well, no, that, we may be in trouble, and Jesus tells us that. John 12:25, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And again, in this perspective, it's not like I hate myself. But it's the seen in the unseen. What lasts, what doesn't. And so we're developing this morning. So seeing the unseen. First off, if you believe there is a God, you already see the unseen. Bible tells us no man has seen God and lived. And so there is very sense of believing in God. Here we are. There is, we are taking testimony that there is a God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, if you don't believe that, I'd love to give you evidence for that. There's a way we can know there's a God. There's a way we can know He has spoken and He has interacted with us. But see, there's the key thing, and there's the challenge of being a Christian. Christianity is logical, reasonable, there's proof. But some people just write it off outright. Oh, you believe in pie in the sky, by and by. You believe, yeah, you've got this fantasy world you've created, and you know how the scoffing and the mocking goes. But I would say to the scoffers, would you consider the evidence? I've had a few that's done that. You know, when generally when people do that, their life gets crushed, they become disillusioned. There's a beauty in taking the evidence of the unseen. Do we have evidence of things we don't see? We do that in science. There are a lot of things we know something's there, even though we don't see it. We see the effects of it. And so again, I'm not going to go around on evidence today. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ, I would trust that majority that are here today, if not everyone, believes that Jesus was raised from the dead. You believe that He is the Christ. You know what Jesus says? Look, guys, you've seen me, and I'm showing you what God is. You've seen me, you come to believe that I was raised from the dead. I have things to tell you you haven't seen, and you got to trust me that I've seen it. In John 3:11, it says, most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And now, and these people in this context, you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus tells us about the unseen. If I believe in Jesus, I'm going to have a different perspective of this world. I'm not telling you to deny reality. I'm not telling you to throw your brain away. No, not at all. But I am telling you that if we can come to see the unseen as Jesus taught us, it's going to be powerful. Let me talk to you about fear. Brethren, I'll tell you, if my Christianity is making this world a better place, I'm going to be feeling pretty bad right now. I'm really feeling pretty bad about, you know, the future of the world and how that's going to go. You know, God hasn't told us to reform the world and make it a better place physically. I want to help my neighbor. I want to help others. Yes, I want to make my neighborhood better, but that's not the call that God's given us. God has given us the call to help people know God. And when things don't go out as we plan, our expectations, we want this, then something else happens. Over and over and over in Old and New Testament, here's what God tells His people. Let's look at, in this case, to Abraham. And the Lord, Jacob. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Now notice, here's this common statement. Do not fear. You know, if we have no fear, we're a fool. Okay? Sometimes with my kids, you know, when they were younger, they're all enthusiastic. They feared nothing. And of course, the parents lose their hair. And sometimes you start getting gray hair, you know, because I got a few. When you know you really worry about those who have no fear. But God tells us, if I am with you, it's going to be okay. You keep on going through the New Testament, Numbers 14:9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, for the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Brethren, again, I don't want to get hurt, and if somebody's coming to hurt me, of course, my body will react to that. I wish that wouldn't happen. I might go flee wicked men and hide. It's not talking about fear of the immediate in terms of just self-protection, but it's idea in the root of our heart of what's going to happen to me. God will take care of his people. One person says the fear of God makes a hero, the fear of man makes a coward. And again, in Jesus' ministry, do not be afraid, over and over again. Peace I leave with you, John 14:27. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What I'm talking to you about today, brethren, is peace. Peace with eyes wide open, with our Bible wide open. Being able to know where things are going. I will tell you, just like the book of Revelation that we studied today, when brethren got that view, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And so that's tough to build. I'm going to tell you, you read a few verses and suddenly you get it. I'm going to tell you something. You got to meditate on this. You got to work your fears through. Why am I afraid? You got to go to Scripture and look at the context of the things that's upsetting you and being able to see where they fit and what matters. I have to do that often. Sometimes I get all upset and I think the world is going to be terrible. I feel terrible. I go, wait just a minute, Larry. Am I seeing things as I ought to? I'm tested. You're tested. And here's one of the verses I'd give Marty. I'm giving him a chance. Hopefully he'll come through a surgery and do well. Here's one of the beautiful verses I tried to memorize and work with when I was doing a scripture memorization program years ago. And when I was hurting, by the way, when you're hurting and you do have a lot of fear, it doesn't go away. Get into Scripture. Let Scripture speak to you. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Why? Even though our outward man is perishing, and I look in the mirror every morning, I can say, things are changing. And I can feel it in my bones. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not going to be here forever. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, wait just a minute, who's saying that? That's Paul. Light affliction? They've attempted to execute him 3 times. He's got scars and marks. He's got some issue that he can't get out of his life. He's begged the Lord to take it away. He says, no, I'm going to leave that thorn in the flesh with you. He says, oh, this is light affliction. Why? Which is for a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's the unseen. But keep going. For while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If we stop worshiping, we get in trouble. If we stop renewing our mind in the Word of God, we get in trouble. And you find yourself worrisome and fearful and oh man, I just don't know if I will be a Christian. You've stopped your sight, your spiritual sight. It's so crucial that we understand how God works. Brethren, you know one way God will help us to see the unseen? To take away things that are precious to us and it hurts. God sometimes will allow us to go through the fire that we may come out of that understanding what lasts and what don't last. I'd rather not suffer. I'd rather not have my worst fears come and face me. But you know, when I serve God and I know Him, sometimes to make me strong, He will take me through difficult things. And let me see one more time what lasts and what doesn't last. And even when we're hurting, could you imagine Paul already been beaten? People tried to kill him. And here he is, he's going to Macedonia. And Acts 18:9, now the Lord spoke to Paul at night by a vision, do not be afraid. But speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city, Paul going, I don't want to go through this again. Lord, I love you. I'm going, but I'm fearful. And see, there's where true worship really helps us. It comforts us. It makes our nerves go down, you know, to calm down. It's not that we'll always be free from the fear, but we know in light of God what we need. I've used this verse many times, but let me just give you an example. Here's what I'm talking about, seen and unseen. Brethren, I don't understand everything about the unseen world, but there are angels, there are demons, God has forces, there's forces. There are things going on right now that are not seen. Brethren, I believe that personally involve us. I couldn't tell you a lot about it because the Bible doesn't give me the details of it. But here's one verse in the Old Testament. Here, an army surrounded a little town. It's over. Huge army. You can't beat them. And when the servant, the man of God, rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to them, alas, my master, what shall we do? For he answered, do not fear. Now he's going like, do not fear. Look at this multitude. We are beat. We're toast. And he says, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I can imagine the servant like, where's this people that are with us? Look at this. I love this. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And here's one of the rare occasions where God actually allows somebody to see the unseen. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Let me tell you something, man. None of those armies are going to do either one chariot of fire. It's holy. It's like one angel. One angel killed, you know, 180,000 Assyrians in one night. You got one angel. Could you imagine an army of angels? Guess what? Nothing's going to happen to you unless God lets it happen to you. Ready? You understand that? I don't think this is a special case. I don't have time to cover off the verses. I know visitors get up wondering, like, how's this going to go here? There's some things for you to take home and look at. But, you know, Balaam, you know, he couldn't see the angel with the donkey. The donkey saw the angel, and Balaam did. And the donkey's trying to protect Balaam, and Balaam's beating his donkey, but his donkey saw the unseen. There are other passages that suggest this. It says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven there are angels. I always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Let me tell you something, brethren. Don't mistreat Christians. You shouldn't mistreat anybody. But one of the dumbest things you can do, if you're a Christian or non-Christian, is do something bad to somebody who's a child of God. There's an unseen world. And you just need to understand that. And Hebrews 13:2 talks about Christians. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. There was one little child misquoted the verse once and said that we have irritated angels, and that may be true too. And so here, but the unseen, do not, you know what God can say to us? Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them, brethren. As for us, okay? And so Romans 8 is another great verse to memorize. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also freely give us all things? If I believe in the unseen, I am a victor. Read Romans 8. Read the rest of this context. But now, here's my problem, brethren, and your problem. We don't always see that, do we? Get too busy. We really, really think there's some things we can fix, and we put our hearts into it, and that's fine. But sometimes we just haven't been renewed in our mind. That's why we need good local churches. That's why we need good personal Bible study. That's why it's good to memorize Scripture. Whatever path you want to take, keep yourself in the unseen. We need to do that. Now, let's talk about politics this morning. Wait just a minute, Larry. I thought we were talking about the seen and unseen. You know, we've never, ever in this country, again, I'm not old enough to go back to the founding of the country, but we've never had politics injected in such a way ever. It's in everything, and people are trying to get you mad. And if your direction doesn't go as you ought to, you need to be mad and hurt and despair and cry. Brethren, I'm getting to the point, and I probably should have already been here a long time. I've been slow. I've been kind of one of those who wants to fight them. You know what? I think politics are nearly worthless, and we shouldn't mourn over it at all. I'm really getting to that point. But let me give you some perspective of the unseen. Psalms 146, the battle that really counts, God will win it. The Bible says, do not put your trust in princesses, nor a son of man in whom there is no help. The Bible said all along, it's not going to be our leaders that's really going to fix things. Do we need to repeat that again? I think it's like Jesus said to the disciples, let this sink down into your ears. I need to have that sink down into my ears. There's not going to be a great victory for the kingdom because of who gets elected. Challenge me on that. Be glad to talk to you about that. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses. This is the prophecy here. Who trust in chariots because they are many and horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. God may be wanting men to rise up in office so the country may be judged. And if it is, God will take care of his people. God's plan will not be thwarted. And we don't need, as one old man said, try to whittle on God's end of the stick. God's in control here, okay? Be wise. Be wise. Understand. But don't worry. The battle's the Lord's. Over and over again, Samuel was told this. Then all the assembly shall know the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And over you see this. The battle is the Lord's. Over and over again. Don't be feared or dismayed. God will take care of you. Here's some verses I like. This helps me. What about our country? Man, my father fought in World War II. I was raised to learn the Constitution and say a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and all of those things. They have great memories in my mind and my heart. I appreciate those who serve in the military and the various things that we do. But do you know how the United States appears to our God? Here's what the Bible says. Behold the nations! Or is a drop in the bucket. And are counted as small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. I appreciate our country. I think our country has some values that no other country outside of God's, God's Israel in the days that he established it. I don't think there's been any country like ours. I think it has been a blessing, but it's still a nation amongst the nations. Isaiah 40:17, all nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. The cause of Christ does not depend on any nation surviving, including this one. Take some time to read your scriptures. Take some time to join us in our study that we're doing on Wednesday night about Babylon rising and falling and these other nations rising and falling. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless, Isaiah 40:23. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something dark, but it's always been true. I love history. I mean, I'm really into the history of this country, okay? I've studied the biographies of the founders. I love original documents. I love the battle that people want to improve their country. There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying you can't be in politics. But I am saying you need to understand when it comes to money and power is going to win battles. Particularly money is going to win money games. And you're going to find, as much as you may all try, it's rare where you have people of integrity that rise into that system of power and money. It's rare. How about the governments? How about the Christians in the first century? Revelation 13. Now, we won't review the details of this. Remember the sea beast? Remember what we studied just a moment ago? That the sea beast was controlled by Satan. The dragon gave him this power. In verse 2, there was religion. Government and religion, they're so close together today. This philosophy is trying to tell you what is just. And what about social justice? And it's being taught by every government institution. It's being pushed. A way of thinking about the world and values. And guess what? It makes the perfect political tool. When you follow this system, you're going to worship the government. And I know some Christians, one preacher says, he used to think we shouldn't be involved in politics, but now he does. And now he's eat up with this philosophy. And he's looking down on Christians. I see him leaving the church in time. But there was that other beast, the land beast. He calls it to worship the first beast. And it was described later as the false prophet. He controls our media. Brethren, you may have your favorite channel. That's fine. I'm not saying turn off the news. I'm not saying you can't read the books of men. But you need to understand, when it comes to places that have authority and influence in this country, there's money and power influencing those. And you may not be hearing the truth. And again, just understand its perspective. Don't let somebody get you angry and get you caught up in some cause that from God's perspective means nothing. Use wisdom here. You know one thing that Jesus never did? He never sought a political solution to the problems of man. In John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And I'll tell you one kingdom I want to be a part of. That's his kingdom. Where should my energies be directed? All right, next section. I want to go ahead and go to the next section. There's some great verses here. Now, how about us specifically? How do you handle hurt? How do you handle it when you don't have enough money to pay the bills? How do you handle it when somebody dear to you has hurt you? How do you handle it when your expectations of things you are doing that you really want to do gets pulled out from under you? First off, you need to understand, if you're a Christian, you likely will be taken advantage of and people look down upon you. Jesus says, now look, disciples, if you're going to be my disciple, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be rosy and good. Matter of fact, he says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues, for yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service." And what Jesus is doing, says, look, I'm trying to tell you this now, verse 4, so that when it happens, you don't think somehow I'm not a good Christian. Have you ever heard of the health and wealth gospel? If you love God, God will give you money, God will give you friends, and you're never going to have any trouble. And, of course, I hear that, and I'm thinking, what world are you living in? You know, if I believe that, and then I started having trouble, you know what that philosophy would say? Something's wrong with you. Well, how about Jesus? Jesus never got rich. He didn't, you know, he says that pillar was a stone. But see, this is the thing we need to understand. The rejection of the world, that's okay. Matter of fact, the rejection of the world probably tells me I'm doing what I ought to do. If I lose my job because I show integrity, that's okay. Jesus is telling us that when I understand that God is with me, then I'm going to have peace. In verse 33 of John 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And so that's been helpful to me. Now sometimes, brethren, let me tell you, be honest, sometimes I get in trouble because I'm dumb. Sincere, but dumb. I can remember when I first started really trying to build my faith. I first started preaching. I didn't know how much support to raise, and I was going into debt every month. That kind of shakes your confidence a little bit. I can remember during that time, I was struggling with my weight, and I was struggling with, you know, at that time, I was not even dating. It had been years before I was going to meet a vet. And here I was. I was just isolated. I didn't know what my future was going to be. And you know what I decided to do? I decided to memorize Scripture. I particularly memorized Scripture about suffering. And in that Scripture being regularly exposed to my heart, Help me to see the unseen. How did Jesus view his enemies? He viewed them as deceived and wanted good for them. How was personal vengeance handled? Again, I can't give you all of this, but let me tell you this one thing. When you're hurt, somebody's hurt you. Somebody's done you wrong, and it hurts. Tell you what, you really want to hurt me? You hurt my family. That's where my Achilles heel would be. What do you do when somebody's really hurt you? And I'm going to tell you, it's going to depend on whether or not you see the unseen. Do you know why that's true? Here's the verse. Look at this. Beloved, verse 19, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. Have you seen the Lord? Not with my eyes. Hey, you know he's going to take care of things, he told me. Well, maybe I need to see. No. What he tells you is this, look, personal vengeance has to be given to the Lord. If you don't see the unseen, you're going to be overcome by bitterness. You're going to end up taking that vengeance. You end up letting that bitterness just completely consume you. I love verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The only way we can do that is see the unseen. When I am innocent and things have been done to me that are wrong and they shouldn't have happened, do I see the unseen? And if I'm struggling with bitterness, I need to start praying there. Lord, help me to see you better. Help me to understand the perspective on this. And when we don't see God, when somebody hurts us, it becomes the whole world. We become the center of the universe. And it's this huge thing that's got to be dealt with. You know what happens when we see the cross and we see what God has forgiven us of? That huge thing that we have to be dealt with suddenly becomes a little bee speck over here. Romans 8:18 is a verse that I read on my own. I've mentioned this many times as a teenager, a graduate from high school. I read this verse, and it just made me numb. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I can remember going, I want that kind of faith. When you have that kind of faith, the hurt that is directed toward you is not as big as the world would think. Finally, how do I see my brothers in Christ? Brethren, sometimes one of the great challenges in churches is how do we take the hurt of our brethren? You know who can hurt you the most? Are those that love you the most. How do you handle a brother that has hurt you? You know, we got some of our brethren are feeding from what I call the leaven of Herod. They get into this political stuff. It's destroyed a lot of Christians. Where they start looking down on Christians and they discard their brethren in pride. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. You know what keeps us out of pride is seeing God. But oh my, when brethren get in this thing that I see justice and my brethren don't. Well, here's the right way to act. And look at all my closed-minded brethren. Ooh! And maybe even worse. You don't want to be around them. Let me tell you this. The unseen. You know what do you see when you look at me? You see some long-winded preacher? Got gray hair and kind of looking old and probably talks funny. You know what God sees when he sees Larry Rouse? You know what God sees when he sees you as a child of God? The Bible says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. You may hurt me as a brother, but I look at you as one for whom Christ died. You know what that makes you? Not somebody for me to throw away, to cut off and do this dog-eat-dog world, this land of throwaway people. I'm going to throw you away because I'm mad at you. No, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do good to you. Because each of us are the one for whom Christ died. Are you following me? You know, sometimes a lot of this stuff we say, yeah, I can do this. But man, when we get personally hurt, sometimes being unwilling to let go of that wrath, that finds out whether or not we see the unseen. And you know, they don't have to be bad to you. Sometimes we look at the weakness of our brethren and look down upon them. Ooh, they're weak. 1 John 4:20. If somebody says, I love God. Now, in order to love God, what you got to do? You got to see the unseen, right? If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? You see how practical this gets? If I have grudges that I can't let go of, if I have anger that I can't let go of, if I am determined to be judge, jury, and executioner the rest of my life, I may not yet see the unseen. And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I'm going to give you one more verse, and that's going to be yours. One more verse. James 2:13. And so, and you can say, look at the other. But this one gets me. This is the one. We'll extend the invitation on this one too. One day, brethren, there will no longer be an unseen world. You know what that day's going to be like? We're all going to be there. We're going to stand before God in his perfectness and his holiness. And you know what's going to happen when we appear before a holy God, just like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6. You know what you see when you appear before a holy God? It's not going to be other people. You and I are going to be thinking, Lord, am I ready? And I believe we can do it victoriously. But when we look at eternity, the only reason why we are going to be accepted before God is because of this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful word. Mercy. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I can tell you there are many times I was ready to tell somebody off. I was going to go see them, and I was going to tell them what they've done, and I can give them the details of the things they've done. But then I start thinking, well, Larry, what have you done to God? What has God forgiven you? What if it was you being approached? How would you want somebody to approach you? And then I finally come to understand that, you know, I don't view that person as some inferior. I view that person as myself. And while the hurt is there, and I need to point out the sin, but I do it that, look, I've also fallen short. Mercy. When we see the unseen, God's people will major in mercy. And we can work with one another. Isn't it great that we serve such a God? I hope this morning, in the brief time we've had, we've gotten a glimpse of the unseen. We have an invitation song we sing for those who have never become Christians. We could urge you, if you want to respond to the invitation song, we can. Or you want to talk to us privately, you can. The invitation song is a great time for all of us to reflect on the lesson or other things. This is just a time at the end of the lesson where we think about where we stand with God and what God has done for us. Travis is now going to lead us in the invitation song if you need to respond in any way. Would you come as we stand and sing?
Let us sing. Come to Jesus, he will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, he will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry. Enter in at mercy's gate. Holy Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner. Other Savior there is none. He will share with you his glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come today. Thank you for being here this morning. At this time, we'll have a closing prayer and be dismissed. God bless you.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come together this Sunday morning to learn and study more from your word. We ask that you keep us in a mind of constant forgiveness and remembrance of what you blessed us with. God, we ask that you be with the Christians around the world, help comfort them, be with them. Some of them live in constant states of oppression and fear for their religion, God. Forgive us of our sins and be with us on our way home. These things we pray in your Son's name.
That depends on how many friends you have tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let's put 35 up, whatever the number is.
It depends on whether Mara's toddler went in with her along with the baby. Whether there were two or three people.
I don't know.
The baby is in there.
We know about it, we already counted her. How many children were in there?
Two.
Okay, so it's 35.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Oh, Daddy, the visitors, they all fall and rip. Yeah, you have to talk to them.
They're from Knoxville.
Okay.
The one family, the older, the parents, the one of the big guy on the end there. Okay. I think they're all from Knoxville. And this other, the couple, he's a resident. They've been here for over a year. I don't know how they just found us, but anyway.
Late than never.
That's what I think.
I think he's gone.
But don't be drinking.
I drink, I don't.
Why?
Because
it's not for you, it's for Christians.
Well,
I've had real wine before at the Lord's Supper. That wakes you up. That'll put your teeth on edge. And I think you're getting rid of the grape juice and it turns out to be wine.
I did this comic.
He had
drunk this
sort of
cup.
It
does not taste right. It turns out
it was
very, very strong wine.
Well, regular grape juice romance turns to vinegar. It doesn't turn to real wine.
Yes.
You got to do other things to it to make it taste like real wine.
Yeah, but he actually, but the bottle said wine.
Yeah. Like okay. There you go.
Oopsie. That didn't mean it did that.
Those are my days.